إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، welcome all of you once again. And we continue our classes reading from Sharh Aqidat al-Salaf Ashab al-Hadith. Aqidat al-Salaf Ashab al-Hadith of Imam al-Sabuni rahimahullah ta'ala. The explanation is of our noble Shaykh al-Allama, al-Walid, al-Ustad, al-Doktor, Abi Muhammad Rabi' ibn Hadi, al-Madkhali, hafidahullah ta'ala, wa matta'ahu bil-Sahha wal-Afiyah, wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lil-Muslimin wal-Muslimat, ameen. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات في عقيدة السلف أصحاب الحديث، باب الهداية من الله تعالى. الهداية من الله تعالى. قال: ويشهدون، أي أهل السنة أصحاب الحديث، يشهدون أن الله تعالى يهدي من يشاء إلى دينه ويضل من يشاء عنه، لا حجة لمن أضله الله عليه ولا عذر له لديه. قال الله تعالى: قل فلله الحجة البالغة فلو شاء لهداكم أجمعين. وقال عز وجل: ولو شئنا لأتينا كل نفس هداها ولكن حق القول مني لأملأن جهنم من الجنة والناس أجمعين. وقال عز وجل: ولقد ذرأنا لجهنم كثيرا من الجن والإنس. آية. فسبحانه وتعالى خلق الخلق بلا حاجة إليهم، فجعلهم فريقين، فريقا للنعيم فضلا وفريقا للجحيم عدلا. الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله تعالى mentioned in this chapter: all guidance is from Allah, الهداية من الله تعالى. All guidance is from Allah. So the people of Hadith witness that Allah the Most High gives guidance towards His religion to whom He wills, and He misguides whom He wills away from His religion. There is no argument for the one who is misguided by Allah, and he has no excuse. And he mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-An'am, verse 149, قُلْ فَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ فَلَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Say, with Allah is the perfect proof and argument. If He had willed, He would have guided you all. Also, He mentioned, Imam al-Sabuni, with another ayah, the ayah 13 in Surah Al-Sajdah, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَأَتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And if we had willed, we would have given every person guidance. Everybody would be guided, be upon Islam, upon the upright path. But the word of truth for me is to fill hell with the jinn and mankind altogether. Also, Imam al-Sabuni mentioned the ayah 179, Surah Al-A'raf. قال تعالى: وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Indeed, I have created many for hell from amongst the jinn and the humans. قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى خَلَقَ الْخَلْقَ بِلَا حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمْ فَجَعَلَهُمْ فَرِيقَيْنِ فَرِيقًا لِلنَّعِيمِ فَضْلًا وَفَرِيقًا لِلْجَحِيمِ عَدْلًا. وجعل منهم غويا ورشيدا وشقيا وسعيدا وقريبا من رحمته وبعيدا، كما قال تعالى لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون، وقال تعالى ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free from all deficiencies, created the creation without having need for them. Allah huwa al-ghani. He created all the creation without any need for them. He subhanahu wa ta'ala made them into two groups. One for al-na'im. May Allah make us from the mu'min. One of the groups for paradise. Out of His blessing and favor, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not because who you are, your color, your country of citizenship, or your power in His life. Even the deeds. The deeds, naam, you do righteous deeds, and righteous deeds you will enter the Jannah, but out of Allah's mercy and Allah's favor and blessings, not as a price. Not as a price, okay, I've done this, I have to be in the Jannah. La. You enter the Jannah by the favor of Allah, by His blessing. And the other group for hell, out of His justice. They deserve to be in jail. Allah doesn't wrong anyone. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. So remember this, it's very important. People, those who go into the Jannah, out of the fadl of Allah, out of His bounty and His favor, not because of who they are, not because of their skin, not even because of their actions. Their actions, even they are righteous and do good, those actions are not a price for the Jannah, meaning, well, because they did this, they have to be in the Jannah. La. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he says, لَنْ يُؤْمَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحَدُ الْجَنَّةِ بِعَمَدٍ قَالُوا وَلَا أَنْتَ قَالَ وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدِنِ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In the sound hadith that we mentioned before, is that the Prophet ﷺ, he says, no one will enter al-Jannah because of his deeds. Meaning, that his deeds are the price for the Jannah. Oh, I've done this, I have to be in the Jannah. With that, you still have to do righteous deeds. That's why there is no contradiction between this hadith and the ayat that says, enter al-Jannah, those who enter al-Jannah because of the righteous deeds they did. But these deeds, the righteous deeds, no one should look, I have enough, I gotta be in the Jannah. People enter al-Jannah by the favor of Allah and by His blessing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who enter the hellfire, by the justice of Allah, because Allah is just, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They deserve, because they subjected themselves to those things that lead to the hellfire, riyadu billah. He has made from them some misguided and some rightly guided, joyful or miserable. Now, there are people who are joyful, as you see. People not all on the same level. There are people who are misguided. Totally misguided. And there are those who are rightly guided. By Allah's will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you have to thank Allah for this ni'mah. If you are guided, ask Allah. Don't think because of your scales or you and Allah. Ask Allah. Na'am, you have to follow the means. You have a will and mashi'ah, but you still have to always remember that because Allah wants that for you. Sayyidina, and ask Allah firmness upon it. Some people, they are guided. Before you know it, they're out. They leave the path. So you ask Allah firmness. So some people are misguided, while others are rightly guided. Some are joyful, others are miserable. Some are near to His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some are far from His mercy. And Allah does what He will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He's al-Hakim, the all-wise, the all-knowing, al-Alim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Adl, the just. That's why he mentioned, the Shaykh, he mentioned this point of Aqidah, the ayat. At first he mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 23. لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He cannot be questioned for what he does, but they will be questioned. Allah is not to be questioned as related to what he does, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the creation are questioned. And he mentioned the ayah 54 in Surah Al-A'raf, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, the creation and the commandment is His. It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessed be Allah, Lord of the worlds. لما قال أخبرنا أبو محمد الحسين ابن أحمد المخلدي الشيباني رحمه الله أخبرنا أبو العباس محمد بن إسحاق السراج قال حدثنا يوسف بن موسى أخبرنا جرير عن الأعمش عن زيد بن وهب عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن خلق أحدكم يجمع في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك أي 40 يوما ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يبعث الله إليه ملكا بأربع كلمات رزقه وعمله وأجله وشقي أو سعيد فوالذي نفسي بيده إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع ثم يدركه ما سبق له في الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع ثم يدركه ما سبق له في الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها. Then he mentioned this hadith. That is related by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim and Abu Dawood رحمهم الله. And he mentioned the isnad. He mentioned his isnad, Imam al-Sabuni, way to Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. He says, Abu Muhammad al-Husayn Ibn Ahmad al-Makhladi al-Shaybani rahimahullah informed us from Abu al-Abbas Muhammad ibn Ishaq al-Siraj, who related from Yusuf ibn Musa, who heard from Jarir, from Al-A'mash, from Zayd ibn Wahab, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. These are chain of narration. Chain of narration that goes way back to Al-Imam al-Sabuni, rahimahullah. That ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who spoke the truth and his words was believed, said, and this hadith is in one of the hadith in a 40 hadith. In the 40 Nawawi, alhamdulillah, we already went through this hadith. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, indeed you are created by being collected in the womb of your mother for 40 days in the form of a drop. Then it becomes a piece of coagulated blood after a similar period, meaning 40 days. Then it becomes a lump of flesh after a similar period. Then Allah sends to it an angel with four things. The angel to write four things. His provision, meaning that fetus that is still in the womb of his mother. These are things that are written. His provision, his deeds, his period of life, and whether he will be rich or blessed. By him in whose hand has my soul is, one of you will do the deeds of those who will go to paradise, so that there will be only a cubit between him and it. Then what is decreed for him will overcome him. so that he will do the deeds of those who go to hell. Also, one of you will do the deeds of those who will go to hell. In a narration, it says, فِيمَا يَبْدُوا لِلنَّاسِ, from that which the people conceive and see that this person, he's doing actions of the people of the Jannah, while the other one, he's doing the actions of the people of the hellfire. But the end, how this person is going to end and the other, nobody knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. May Allah make our ends the good ones. Ameen.
Ameen.
So also one of you will do the deeds of those who will go to hell, so that there will be only a cubit between him and it. Then what is decreed for him will overcome him, so that he will do the deeds of those who go to paradise and thus enters it. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله وأخبرنا أبو محمد المخلدي قال أنبأنا أبو العباس السراج قال حدثنا إسحاق بن إبراهيم الحنظلي هو ابن راهوية قال أنبأنا عبد الصمد بن الوارث قال حدثنا حماد بن سلمة عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الرجل ليعمل عمل أهل الجنة وإنه لمكتوب في الكتاب أنه من أهل النار فإذا كان عند موته تحول فعمل بعمل أهل النار فمات فدخل النار وإن الرجل ليعمل بعمل أهل النار وإنه لمكتوب في الكتاب أنه من أهل الجنة فإذا كان قبل موته عمل بعمل أهل الجنة فمات فدخل الجنة. Another hadith we have to pay close attention to. The Imam al-Sabuni rahimahu ta'ala also mentioned, he says, Abu Muhammad al-Madkhali informed me from Abu al-Abbas al-Siraj, who related from Ishaq ibn Ibrahim al-Hanbali, and he is Abu ibn Rahuya, or ibn Rahaway, the great Imam, one of the contemporary Imams of Hadith in the times of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. Who heard from Abdul Samad ibn Abdul Warith, who related from Hamad ibn Salama, who related from Hisham ibn Urwa, from his father, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, a man does the deeds of the people of paradise. This person, he does actions of the people of paradise, actions of obedience and the like. Indeed, a man does the deeds of the people of paradise, but it is written in the book that he is from the people of the hell. When the time of death comes for him, he changes and does the deeds of the people of hell. Waliyadu billah. So after his death, he enters hell. And indeed a man does the deeds of the people of hell. But it is written in the book that he is from the people of paradise. People doing all the deeds of the Jahannam that leads to the hellfire. But with Allah, this person is written in the book with Allah that is from the people of Jannah. How is that? He says, when the time of death comes for him, he changes and does the deeds of the people of paradise. So after his death, he enters paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us firmness upon the path.
Ameen.
Because it is not just what you're doing now. It's what you're doing, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmness upon it. Aina. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmness. That's why a person should constantly involve himself with knowledge. Because the more you learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you humble yourself, the more your taqwa increase and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart increase. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Those among the servants of Allah who fear Him the most are the scholars. Because of the knowledge they have, the more they know about Allah, the more they know how serious the matter is. And they ask Allah. So it's not just about doing good deeds, but being firm upon those good deeds. And the hearts are, they can change. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to increase from the dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub wal-absar, sarif qalbi ala deenik. O the one who turns the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your religion. So it's not about, like this ahadith mentioned, a person may be doing the actions of the people of Jannah, righteousness, but then, subhanAllah, at the end of their life, they do the deeds of the hellfire, layadu billah. That's why ikhlas is important. Muhasabat al-nafs, the ulama, they mentioned, that's what's going to help us. Constant check yourself, because you're going to be checked. Ikhlas, sincerity, why you're learning, why you're doing this, why you're talking, why you're commanding good, why you're forbidding evil, why you're teaching, why you're advising and the like. Why you're giving the sadaqah, why you're helping, why you're naming here or there. You gotta do it for the sake of Allah. As dunya can take people away, wal'iyadu billah. And you ask Allah with that, you thank Allah for guidance, and you also ask Allah for firmness. That you be firm upon guidance until you die upon guidance. Now. Ati, kitabuk, Ati. Let's see. See something. Hey.
وقال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله ويشهد أهل السنة ويعتقدون أن الخير والشر والنفع والضر والحلو والمر بقضاء الله تعالى وقدره لا مرد لهما ولا محيص ولا محيد عنهما ولا يصيب المرء إلا ما كتبه له ربه ولو جهل الخلق أن ينفع المرء بما لم يكتبه الله له لم يقدروا عليه ولو جهدوا أن يضروه بما لم يقضه الله عليه لم يقدروا على ما ولد به الخير عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما وقال الله عز وجل وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله.
In the other chapter, because Imam Sheikh Rabia, he brought all these chapters together, and then he's gonna start explaining them, inshallah ta'ala. The other chapter about the good and the evil. Al-Imam al-Sabuni, rahimahullah, he says, and Ahlul Sunnah testify and believe that the good and the evil, the benefit and the harm, the pleasant and the bitter, all happen by the decree and power of Allah. There is no return or escape, and no one can desist from them both. Nothing except that which Allah has written will befall that person. If the creation strive to benefit the person with something which Allah has not written for him, then they will not be able to do so. If they strive to harm him with something not decreed by Allah for him, they will not have the ability to do so. This is what is reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Like in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, know that if all the ummah strive to benefit you with something, they will not be able to do it unless Allah has written it for you. And if they all strive to harm you with something, they will not be able to do it unless Allah has written it for you. And he mentioned the ayah, 107 in Surah Yunus, and if Allah touches you with harm, no one can remove it except He. And if He intends good for you, no one can repel His favor.
قال ومن مذهب أهل السنة وطريقتهم مع قولهم بأن الخير والشر من الله وبقضائه لا يضاف إلى الله تعالى ما يتوهم منه نقص على الانفراد فلا يقال يا خالق القردة والخنازير والخنافس والجعلان وإن كان لا مخلوق إلا والرب خالقه. وفي ذلك ورد قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في دعاء الاستفتاح: تباركت وتعاليت، والخير في يديك والشر ليس إليك. ومعناه والله أعلم: والشر ليس مما يضاف إليك إفرادا وقصدا حتى يقال لك في المنادات يا خالق الشر أو يا مقدر الشر، وإن كان هو الخالق والمقدر لهما جميعا. ولذلك أضاف الخضر عليه السلام الخضر إرادة العيب إلى نفسه، فقال فيما أخبر الله تعالى عنه في قوله: أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها. ولما ذكر الخير والبر والرحمة أضاف إرادتها إلى الله عز وجل فقال: فأراد ربك أن يبلغ أشدهما ويستخرج كنزهما رحمة من ربك. ولذلك قال مخبرا عن إبراهيم عليه السلام أنه قال: وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين. فأضاف المرض إلى نفسه والشفاء إلى ربه، وإن كان الجميع منه عز وجل. Imam al-Sabuni rahimahu wa ta'ala, he continues saying, from the madhab and the path of Ahlul Sunnah is their saying that the good and the evil is from Allah. That the good and the evil is from Allah and by His decree subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything which by itself entails any form of defect or deficiency is not annexed, ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one does not say, O creator of the ape, O creator of the pig, and the dung, beetle, and the like. Even though no creation exists, but the Lord created it. There appears about this a statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the supplication said at the beginning of the prayer: You are blessed and you are exalted. All good is in your hands and the evil is not from you. Its meaning, and Allah knows best, and Imam al-Sabuni says, is evil is not attributed to you by itself and out of intent. So one does not, when calling out to you, say, O creator of evil, or O ordainer of evil, even though He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and arranges of them both, the good and evil. And this is why Al-Khidr, as in the story of in Surah Al-Kahf, Al-Khidr ascribes the intention of damaging the ship to himself, as Allah informs us: أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا. The Khidr says, when he explains to Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam, he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was told that there is a servant of ours, he has some knowledge that you don't have. So Musa alayhi salam humbled himself and he went look for this man who has some knowledge. That's why the ulama, they mentioned, if Musa went to seek knowledge, so though he is the messenger of Allah, so what about those people who are less than him? Or the same way they say, if anyone doesn't need to travel to seek knowledge, that should be Musa alayhi salam, who is the messenger of Allah. But Musa alayhi salam, he went on a journey looking for this man Al-Khidr alayhi salam to learn from him. So we know the story that at first Al-Khidr, when he knows his purpose, he says, you're not going to be patient with me. I'm going to do certain things, you're not going to have no patience. But Musa, he wants to learn. He says, no, you will find me patient, inshallah. But he make a condition. He says, look, you're going to go with me. Do not ask me about anything I do until I tell you why I do it. Musa said, okay. The first thing Al-Khidr did, Musa said, why you did this? I told him, say, I told you, you cannot be patient. He said, oh, forgive me. I forget. Inshallah. Okay. So anyway, now this ayah is when Musa alayhi salam, after the second time, he said to him, look, if I ask you again, that's it. That will be the end. You don't have to be with me again. That's it. So, and then he asked him again, and he said, هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِي. This is it. This is the end. Me and you, we cannot go together anymore. But let me tell you the reasons why I did what I did. The first thing he did, what did he do? What the Khidr did?
Sacked the boat. He made the hole. And he sacked the boat.
He's about the ship. Okay, he put a hole in the ship. Okay? So that's why he said to, and Moses said, why you put a hole? You want to sink everybody? You see? And Al-Khidr said to him, look, he said, as for the ship, it belonged to poor people working in the sea. I intended to damage it. You see? Now, we're not talking about the story of the Khidr. Who can give me the contest why this ayah was brought again? Because I don't want you to lose the main idea, why this ayah. This ayah is not talking about, we're not talking about the stories of the Khidr here, okay? Why this ayah was mentioned now? Close. Nah.
Because something may look evil, but it is not necessarily evil. Like, it depends on the perspective.
Nah.
That evil is not attributed to Allah.
Ahsan. That's the point. The idea that Allah created the evil, but you don't attribute the evil to Allah. That's why, look at the Khidr, he says. He didn't say that Allah sinked it or damaged it. He said, I intended to damage it. You see? So he didn't attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though that's happened by Allah's will and decree. So, but when the Khidr mentioned goodness, when the Khidr mentioned goodness, righteousness and mercy, he ascribed those to who? To him? No, to Allah, the mighty and the majestic. قال فأراد ربك أن يبلغ أشدهما. He didn't say him. Now he's talking about Allah. He says, and your Lord intended that they reach their age of full strength and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. So your Lord, this what part of the story? Who can remind us?
When
he fixed the wall. Who can tell me the story of the wall? Which wall? It's not the wall of China. Which wall is it? Because some people are like, oh, the wall of China? Okay. Not the wall of Berlin, neither. Nah, Omar.
The wall when people wouldn't give them aid, and then the wall was leaning about to fall and fill it.
Ahsant. Ahsant. Nah. More details. That's what Omar said is true, but you just need little names and stuff, you know. Naam Akhana? Story in the Surah Al-Kahfi, Akhwan. Surah Al-Kahfi, you recite it every Friday at least once. Naam Nuruddin.
At a link in Medina, two orphans lived in the city.
There were two orphans.
Yes, and their father had left some treasure underneath the wall. Now.
Yeah.
What did
you... More details. That's it? Now.
Yes, while Musa alayhi salam and Khadr were walking, they came to a city and they refused to welcome them. So at that time, they saw a wall which is leaning. He raised it for one.
He fixed it. Al-Khidr. Musa fixed it.
No.
Who?
Al-Khidr.
Nah.
And Nabi Musa alayhi salam, he said, why you fix it? Because these people refuse to give us hospitality.
Nah, he didn't say why you fix it.
He said you should have taken some money.
You should be like, give us something for it. You fixed it, so ask them now to pay you for that. Aina, that's the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. But here, he mentioned that your Lord intended that they reach their age of full strength and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. He said, and this is why when he informed us about Ibrahim's, also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about Ibrahim, saying, Ibrahim, he said, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Verse 80, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. He says, and when I am ill, he didn't say when he make me sick. You see? So Ibrahim, when he's sick by whose will?
By
Allah's will. But still look at the adab. He didn't say, and he make me, Look, what's the ayat before that? These are good things. He's the one who feed me and give me to drink. But then when he came to the sickness, did he say, and he's the one who caused me to be sick? He said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. You see how the adab. So when he was talking about the good things, he was attributing them to Allah. Okay? He's the one who created me and guided me. And he's the one who fed me, gave me food to eat, and drink, and fruits to drink. And he didn't say, and when he make me sick, Ibrahim didn't say, and when he make me sick, he cured me. Nah. He said, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ. And when I am ill, it is he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who cures me. So, Imam al-Sabun, he says, he, meaning Ibrahim, alayhi salam, attributed the sickness to himself, but the cure to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though it was all from Allah, both. The sickness and the cure is from Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the other chapter, Mashi'atullah, because Shaykh Rabi'ah wa ta'ala, he combined all these chapters and began to explain all of them. قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله وكذلك من مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة أن الله عز وجل مريد لجميع أعمال العباد خيرها وشرها لم يؤمن أحد إلا بمشيئته ولم يكفر أحد إلا بمشيئته ولو شاء لجعل الناس أمة واحدة وقال تعالى ولو شاء ربك لآمن من في الأرض كلهم جميعا ولو شاء ألا يعصى ما خلق إبليس فكفر الكافرين ولو شاء أن لا يعصى ما خلق إبليس سبحانه وتعالى فكفر الكافرين وإيمان المؤمنين وإلحاد الملحدين وتوحيد الموحدين وطاعة المطيعين ومعصية العاصين كلها بقضائه سبحانه وتعالى وقدره وإرادته ومشيئته أراد كل ذلك وشاءه وقداه ويرضى الإيمان والطاعة ويسخط الكفر والمعصية ولا يرضاها قال الله عز وجل إن تكفروا فإن الله غني عنكم ولا يرضى لعباده الكفر وإن تشكروا يرضه. In the next chapter that was 17, 18 and now 19 the Mashi'a, the will of Allah. And Imam al-Sabuni, rahimahu wa ta'ala, he says, and also from the madhab of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from the Aqeedah, is that Allah, the Most High, the Most, the Mighty and Majestic, intended all the actions of His slaves, the good and the bad, to occur. No one believes except with His will. And no one disbelieves except with His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He had will, He could have made all of mankind into one nation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yunus, verse 99, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. If your Lord had will, all those on the earth would have believed. Would have believed. If He wanted... If He wanted that no one should be disobedient to Him, then He would not have created Iblis. Imam al-Sabuni, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, if He wanted that no one should be disobedient to Him, then He would not have created Iblis. Then He said, the disbelief of the unbelievers, the iman of the believers, the apostasy of the apostates, the tawheed of the muwahideen, the obedience of the obedient ones, and the disobedience of those who disobey him. All of it is from his decree and power, will and intent, the one free from all deficiencies, the Most High. He intended, willed, and decreed all those things. He is displeased with kufr and disobedience. Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased with kufr and disobedience. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 7, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you disbelieve, then indeed Allah is in no need of you. He is not pleased with kufr, disbelief from his slaves. If you are grateful, then he is pleased with you. Shaykh Rabih, he explained all this chapters all together, you know, because they all have connections. And we're not going to be able to finish all this tonight, but we start reading, inshallah ta'ala, because it's almost time for the adhan. قال فهذه الفصول قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله هذه الفصول كلها مرجعها إلى بحوث القدر والإيمان به ومواقف الناس من الإيمان بالقدر أو الكفر به أو نفيه. So these chapters, okay, guidance, the good and the evil, the will of Allah, all of these chapters, they are connected to al-qadr, to the science and the field of qadr, and having iman in the qadr. And also the stance and the positions that the people take as related to having iman in the qadr, or not having iman in the qadr. Those who approve and believe in the qadr, and those who deny the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وهذه المسائل يختلف فيها أهل السنة وفرق الضلال. He says this matters here, the guidance of Allah. Some people are guided by Allah's will, others are misguided by Allah's will. The will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who created good and created evil. Some people are doing good, other people are doing evil, and the like. All of this, these are points of aqidah, that points of difference of aqidah between Ahlul Sunnah and the sects, the deviant sects. The deviant sects, they oppose the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah in these points of aqidah. In these points of aqidah. فأهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بالقدر ويؤمنون بالشرع ويؤمنون بالقدر خيره وشره من الله تبارك وتعالى قدرهم الله سبحانه وتعالى وخلق العباد وأفعالهم وأعمالهم وشرع تشريعات يجب الإيمان بها والتزامها كما يجب الإيمان بالقدر فآمن أهل السنة بالقدر ومستلزماته وآمنوا بالشرع فجمعوا بين الإيمان بالقدر والإيمان بالشرع والعمل به. He said, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, these are the group who are upon the haqq, upon the truth, those who are rightly guided. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe in the Qadr. They believe in the decree of Allah. Also that they believe in what Allah has legislated and act upon it. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, after mentioning the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah as related to the Qadr, that Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah yu'minuna bil Qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. That they believe in the Qadr of Allah. The good and the bad is decreed by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
But also they believe that Allah has legislated rulings and regulations, and that the servant has to abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we're going to learn in the next class, inshallah ta'ala, next week, that the Shaykh is going to talk now about those deviant sects who oppose the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah, Al-Qadariyah. And the Qadariyah, these deviant sects, and they have many groups, okay? There is those who deny the Qadar, there is those who use the Qadar to justify their wickedness and their evil. They're like, listen, man, they know, he's not praying, drinking alcohol, riba, but hey, Allah decreed everything. That's they want to use the Qadar to justify their negligence and their evil actions. And all that, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to learn in details with the Adillah next week, inshallah ta'ala. At this present moment, we have a couple more minutes for the Iqamah, if you want me to repeat something for you, or inshallah ta'ala we can discuss. It's up to you. Somebody wants to say something about what we have mentioned. La ba'as, inshallah. Now,
what's the punishment for the one who says Allah decreed for me to be like this? Allah made me like this. I do not eat, and I do a lot of sinning, or drink alcohol, like you said. The one who uses that as excuse, Allah decreed this for me.
No.
What is the punishment?
We didn't get to that point yet. One thing we should know is that it's not right for someone to use the Qadar to justify their negligence. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, of course, you gotta understand this too. We believe that person who is doing evil, he's doing it because Allah decreed for that person to do evil. Because that person could never do something else. But, did Allah force that person to do evil? No, Allah gave them a will. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Have we not given him two eyes, a tongue and two lips, and guide him to the two paths? Now, the path of good is made clear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the path of evil is made clear. And Allah commands us to stick to the path of good and forbid us from the path of evil. Now somebody gonna come and choose the path of evil and say, oh, Allah decreed this for me, may force me to do this, and I have nothing to do with this. No, you have something to do with that. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he says, look, the same person when he's driving in his car, for example, who has this corrupt aqidah, when he see a pole or a wall in front of him, does he run through the wall or he make a left turn? Huh? Why doesn't he just go straight and say, hey, Allah decreed on me to smash in this window? You see, he make a sound. He's driving in a cliff and he see the sign to make a left, slow down. Is he still going 65 miles? Why don't he just keep going and say, hey, if I force somebody to, we're going to crash. Qadr of Allah, are you afraid? You're not a believer? Doesn't matter, we're going 80 now. Doesn't matter, don't look at this signs made by men. Man, we're gonna keep going 85, even the sign says 15. Yaqi, but we may fall down. Doesn't matter, Qadr of Allah. Someone in his right mind, do that? Would you ride with someone have this aqidah? Same thing. No, they slow down. They follow the rules and the regulations. So when it comes to salat, qadar Allah. He go pray, qadar Allah. Riba, qadar Allah. He drinking alcohol, yeah, he can tell you, yeah, haram. But why is he doing it? Qadar Allah. But he won't go and put his hands on a hot stove. He's like, no, it's going to burn. Can't put my hand. Qadar Allah. He said, yeah, you don't know the qadar. No, you don't know the qadar. So Allah, salam alayhi wa sallam.